You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM.
Today is the 22nd day of a hunger strike in Vancouver's downtown east side. The man on the hunger strike is from the Squamish Nation. He's formerly homeless. He has type 2 diabetes, and he's known in the neighborhood simply as the artist formerly known as Homeless Dave. He's going without any food or drink except sage tea and One Lonely Planet juice, the brand owned by Vancouver's mayor, in order to survive with his diabetes. Dave launched his hunger strike after being a key organizer in a community picket against gentrification that has received much media attention. That picket is entering the end of its 10th week. Dave spoke with Red Eye's Peter Driftmeyer on the 12th day of his hunger strike. That's 10 days ago. Peter began by asking him why the picket at Pigeon Restaurant had started.
There's the picket and there's the hunger strike, but specifically the pigeon picket, which started, it was about 2-3 days after the Pigeon Restaurant opened up. And I'll give you a little context to that. And that is, a couple months before that, I was looking at some of the newer restaurants that have been opening up in the community, in particular Save-On Meats. And that was actually going to be the first restaurant that they were going to picket. And the reason why was because, one, it's really a charity model rather than a model based on justice and something that should be based on basic dignity and equality. And not a charity model, which is really something that's been around for an extremely long time, and it's a very band-aid solution to issues such as hunger, and but he does more than that. He creates more of an advertising and propaganda for the high-end restaurant businesses and what's behind them. Save-On Meats, I knew, was a propaganda machine, and that was proven just a few weeks ago, where Save-On Meats was bought out by a very large real estate holding company called I think it's called not Reliance. I forgot the name of the real estate company, but it's a $3.5 billion real estate company that's planning on putting up a 15 to 20 story condo unit right near Kitty Corner to Carol and Hastings, near Save-On Meats at the Electric Building. And so they're using Save-On Meats as a cover for that, and they're only using that as the brand, if you will, to come into the neighborhood. And that's why there's a major push by the BIAs, the Business Association, such as Crosstown Business Association, and the Gastown Association, which are really pushing fragmentary stories such as sandwich boards missing or windows being smashed in other neighborhoods, and trying to tar the actions that are going on here in this community, where it's much more going on than property. It's a real life and death struggle for many in the community, and it's a very serious struggle going on here. And so, like I say, Save-On Meats was the first target, but because he was shelling out a lot of money and there was a lot of money behind him, it wasn't an opportune time to go after him. So that's why Pigeon Restaurant was chosen, because it was just opening up at that time, and it was also on a fault line, made this a line in the sand. That being, it's right across from Pigeon Park. It's at the place where there's a rezoning all the way from that area all the way to Clark Drive, where it's going to be opened up for condos and high-end businesses. Most of this real estate, especially on the on the east side is already been bought up by real estate speculators and developers. There's a huge development happening there, as we know right now, that we call Woodward's East, and that's being developed by Wall Financial Corporation. They're also a company that's supposedly behind a new type of idea, whether it's called Aboriginal tourism, where they want to use the Carroll Street Greenway for building longhouses. I believe that Wall Street Financial is involved in that. This was also an idea that came up previously, that some financial companies wanted to create a totem town in Gastown, of which the Union of BC Chiefs rejected this idea. So that's why Pigeon was chosen. It was also chosen because it's the idea. There's an idea of colonization behind it, and whereas he said Brandon Grassetti, the majority owner of the restaurant, said that they carefully planned the restaurant, every detail, including the name of the restaurant, and not only does it mean a contact language, but it involves colonialism, and especially across from Pigeon Park, where some of the most vulnerable people in the country have it as their living room. So he's saying that his pigeon, PIDGIN, is going to supplant our pigeon. So there's an idea of very rich people coming into the restaurant there next to some of the poorest people in the country, materially, that are there. And they designed it with clear glass windows to look at, to enjoy their meals while looking at people suffering across the street.
You mentioned the rezoning that's going to be happening in the downtown Eastside Oppenheimer district that'll really pave the way for rapid condo development. The picket did receive a lot of backlash about, like, oh, why this poor businessman? The language from the picket has responded being it's about these restaurants, about the condos, and about the government policies that are keeping people underhoused, so that this, if these condos come in and people had adequate housing, there wouldn't be the same displacement. And and I know that there's struggles happening at the same time around housing. So what is it about this timing that you decided to take on this incredible and drastic feat of a hunger strike?
Well, what happened was it started out at the Pigeon Restaurant, and I saw the Pigeon Restaurant as being really the genesis of the Last Stand of downtown Eastside. And the reason being was, it's not fun, shutting down any business or anybody doing that. And not that I have a particular lot of compassion for this owner, because he's been very disparaging. He's been very insulting to our community and to individuals, including myself, which I won't mention the things that he said, but he said things publicly in front of other people to myself and to many others. He's stalked picketers. He's done very despicable things. And also, he's not a poor person. He doesn't have a lease. He actually bought that property that's there from the developer, and I believe he owns other businesses as well. The idea that, the city has not been listening to our community. We've been to City Hall for many years, and they have never listened to us. They have always approved every project that's gone through, even against thousands of our signatures in petitions, where the majority of people, for example, low-income community in Chinatown, signed petitions, and they didn't care about them. They just listened to the business interests in Chinatown, and they put up two very large condo developments that are being developed right now. The development of 955 East Hastings by Wall Corp. It's a huge, giant development. The sequel 138 development, which I'll mention a bit more, which they pushed through, even though they have a chance. They had a chance to buy it two times. They didn't. And it's really an issue about and the LAPIR process, which is a local area planning process, which is a city process that is supposed to help where the neighborhood helps plan in their own development. And we have seen that they have not listened to us through that process, and in fact, they've exploited the process while pushing through development projects, even while the process is going on. And so it's a very skewed process, and very few people in the community have faith in that process, especially when it's being betrayed. Secondly, the issue is gentrification and displacement. And we have a situation where Councillor Carrie Jang, which is Visions and the mayor's point person on homelessness, has come out and said publicly, I quote, he says, not a single poor person is being displaced in the downtown east side. And that's a quote coming from the person that's supposed to be the point person on homelessness on the Vision team. And the same councilor, Carrie Jang, by the way, made a point to come to Pigeon Restaurant just before we started a picket at 6 o'clock a few weeks ago, and stayed there for several hours until after our picket ended at 8 o'clock. And he sat there for hours eating and drinking, spending God knows how much money. And he was saying, basically, I support this kind of businesses, and I support what these people are doing. And they're all, and Vision is also saying, we support the developers in what they're doing. So they've chosen very clearly who they support and who they don't care about. The mayor says he supports the owner and he's concerned that customers are being harassed. But he's never said that he's concerned about some of the most vulnerable people in the country across from Pigeon Park and people around the corner on the block who are being harassed by police on a daily basis and by private security. He's never shown any concern for these people. And he continues to show no concern for our community. So it's so we've come to the point where it's a dire situation, a desperate situation. And so after the Pigeon picket about almost 2 weeks ago, it started a hunger strike.
There's a bit of a numbers game going on where the city will say no one's being displaced. And I've also heard them say that social housing has gone up in the downtown east side, and that's a very stark contrast to what the local residents are saying in their organizations and people here at the picket line. Yes. Can you explain that,
sure,
that breakdown of?
I think there's probably three numbers that will help with that. I'm not really a numbers person, but I'll talk numbers a little bit. One is that in the downtown east side, in the sub-districts, downtown east side, which includes Chinatown, there's about 1,600 condo units going up, and out of that, we have a few dozen. So that means, I will hold at that number. Secondly, from a CCAP study, from a Carnegie study that just came out, a yearly study that comes out, this is the most recent one, shows that we've lost 426 SRO rooms to affordability. That means that what was affordable for people for welfare, disability, pension rates is no longer affordable. They've gone up by $50 or more. So that means that they can no longer afford those rooms, or that money is coming out of their food money. So we've lost those rooms as well, just over the past year. The third number is that we have now 850 homeless people in downtown Eastside. That's 100 people more than last year. So we know the numbers are up, and it's a dire situation here. And we know what people are on the streets are saying, and we know people say it's more difficult, and we know people are more stressed. And this is not even an argument that we have, even, for example, with the rich customers who go to Pigeon Restaurant. They know that gentrification and displacement is happening. In fact, a majority of those customers going there are actually quite happy about it, and they make a point of saying so. So those really are the three numbers that disputes what they're saying, and the numbers that they do are recycled numbers that they keep recycling every year for the supportive housing that they keep talking about.
Dave, it's 12 days on your hunger strike.
Yes.
How are you?
I could be better. I'm tired. I'm very tired, but it's also probably a lot to do with my diabetes, and that's probably the most difficulty that I have with, because it makes me even more lethargic and more tired, and it makes my head foggy and lightheaded, and that's pretty much a constant thing that I've had almost since day one. But I do have, I should say, what I'm having on a hunger strike. I drink water, sage tea, and 325 milliliters of the mayor's former company, Happy Planet Juice, a day, 140 calories. And I take that juice for the diabetes so I don't collapse or go into a diabetic coma. But otherwise, I'm okay, hanging in there, and I'm going to do this as long as it takes for the three demands.
Can you briefly list those three demands?
Yes, the three demands. I mentioned the Sequel 138 condos before, and the Sequel 138 condos are on 100 block of East Hastings. It's right across from Insight, and across from the Folk Garden as well. These condos are on 100 blocks, so it really is in the heart and soul of downtown Eastside. We have almost 1,000 people on that block that are in jeopardy. It's mostly private SROs, and condos going in there will jeopardize all their rooms. It would also jeopardize Insight across the street, because these condo people, when they move in and look out their windows, they're going to say, you know what, I don't really like what I see outside my window. Can the city please do something about that? Can you get Insight to move? So there'll be a tremendous amount of pressure to move Insight. Legally, they can't do anything about Insight, but they can put pressure to move Insight along, and that is exactly what they're going to do, because it's not just condos. It's going to be all private boutiques along the front and along the alleyway, and these are going to be high-end boutiques. It's going to be buzzer entry, and that means more security and more policing on that block. So they're going to want to clear that block, so there's going to be more policing. So that's and the demand be that there be 100% social housing there at the Sequel 138, and also that there be a healing and wellness treatment center there. This is something that elders in the community have called for. It's also something that the Union of BC Chiefs have passed a resolution for. And by the way, I should mention that Grand Chief Stuart Phillip of the Union BC Chiefs has given his unwavering support for my hunger strike and for the demands, and was there for the launch on March 22nd. The second demand is for the Vancouver Police Department cop shop at Cordova and Main, near Main and Hastings. Be made for 100% social housing, and also community space for social justice groups such as VANDU, WARS, and many of the other groups, the Power of Women group, and our other community groups. And this is especially important because this site is now being pushed by Mayor Gregor and his Vision Party and the government to be a venture capital hub for technology companies. And this just means more gentrification, and it feeds into more high-end restaurants. And these people have no understanding for the community. And so, but it's especially insulting because it's the Vancouver Police Department building in sight, especially considering the brutality and harassment that the Vancouver Police Department has committed against this community for decades, especially during the 90s, the brutality to the women in this community, but also continued brutality and harassment through what VANDU and PIVOT have found out to be what we call a new type of vagrancy laws, or 95% of tickets being targeted to people on the street, such as minor infractions, such as jaywalking, vending, spitting, urinating, these kind of things, whereas they the ticket nobody else in and other neighborhoods, if even one or two tickets. So this is really targeting, and it's part of the displacement process, because harassment from the police pushes people out further, because it stigmatizes them more, and people are physically threatened by the police and intimidated by the police. So that site's really important, and I feel very strongly the police chief Chu and the police union themselves lobby that this site be made social housing for our community in downtown Eastside, and it be community space for our community. It's the least that they could do, because it's not just for what they've done to us, but it's also for what they haven't done for us. And the third demand is for the downtown Eastside to be designated a social justice zone. And this is more open-ended, vague, because this is something that will be negotiated and decided by the different groups and organizations in the downtown Eastside, and then see what kind of policies need to be implemented by the city for this to happen. But it's very, very important that this happen, because it provides us some side of security and a basis for vision for our community.
You've been listening to an interview with a downtown Eastside hunger striker, the artist formerly known as Homeless Dave. He was speaking to Red Eye's Peter Driftmeyer. Dave is a longtime downtown Eastside resident from the Squamish Nation. Today marks the 22nd day of his hunger strike. The interview was recorded on day 12. And Dave keeps a daily blog, which lists actions that people can take to support his demands, and you can also endorse his demands there. And the blog is at this address, dteshungerstrike.blogspot.com.